This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The Affordable Care Act, as it stands, is still the law of the land, for now. And Wisconsin is still part of the lawsuit seeking to overturn the ACA, for now. That means things are still as they were before last November's election brought a new administration into office in Wisconsin.
Barbara Zabawa is our health policy contributor. She's a clinical assistant professor and co-director of the Masters in Health Administration program at UW-Milwaukee's College of Health Sciences. Nice to have you back.
Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me back, Mitch.
And so, well, let's start with the status of the lawsuit over the Affordable Care Act. This was something that was talked a lot about over the campaign season. It was a law lawsuit that Wisconsin joined. It was filed by, I think, the state of Texas. It was joined while Scott Walker was governor. Now Tony Evers is governor. Josh Call is attorney general. And despite the rhetoric of the campaign season, Wisconsin is still part of the lawsuit. So what's the challenge here that the Evers administration finds itself in?
Governor Evers campaigned on wanting to remove Wisconsin from the lawsuit, but because of the lame duck session and the bills that were passed and signed into law, there are some hurdles that both the attorney general and the governor have to face in wanting to remove Wisconsin from the lawsuit. In fact, I think the attorney general did ask the Joint Finance Committee chairs to remove Wisconsin from the lawsuit, and last I heard, they hadn't heard a response back. But the all indicators are that there won't be an agreement to remove Wisconsin from the lawsuit. And Attorney General Call has said, and if we're going to stay in, he's going to keep the same position, which is, of course, to oppose the Affordable Care Act and join Texas and the other states who have brought this lawsuit against the federal government that it's unconstitutional. And the court in December, by the way, ruled that it was unconstitutional because they, in the Tax Act that was passed in December of 2017, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act removed the penalty, the dollar amount that would someone would have to pay if they did not have health insurance. And because that was removed, the court in Texas in December, a couple months ago now, ruled that the whole thing, the whole law, the Affordable Care Act, including very popular provisions like the pre-existing exclusion provision that prohibits insurance companies from denying people with pre-existing conditions coverage, that would go away under this lawsuit, at least in the states that have brought the lawsuit, but possibly in all states. And that right now, the law, the Affordable Care Act, is still the law. The judge in the Texas case said, I'm going to rule it unconstitutional, but I'm going to keep it in place because I know there's going to be an appeal. So everything's going to stay the same until the higher courts decide what to do.
And as you say, Josh Call, the attorney general in Wisconsin, says as long as Wisconsin is part of the lawsuit, he will be representing Wisconsin in the way that the lawsuit intends.
That's right. That's right. He's not going to take a different position. What I want to let people know, though, is there's been a lot of talk since getting involved with the lawsuit, since the election in November, about trying to enact legislation at the state level that would protect people with pre-existing conditions, sort of as a band-aid. Like, we know we're in this lawsuit. We know that the judge has now ruled in favor of declaring the Affordable Care Act unconstitutional, which means in practice that the pre-existing condition provision, which is popular with most people, would go away. So the state legislature has tried to put a band-aid on that possibility by offering to create legislation that would protect people with pre-existing conditions in Wisconsin.
That has been a challenge, however.
That has been a challenge because there's a federal law called ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974, that overrides state insurance laws for self-insured employers. That means any law that Wisconsin passes regarding insurance coverage, regarding what insurance companies in Wisconsin can or cannot do, will have no effect on what self-insured group health plans, which is a lot of people who are covered by their employer plan, if it's a self-insured plan, those plans are not subject to state law. And so if there's no federal law anymore protecting people with pre-existing conditions, then any state law that's passed won't affect people who get coverage from their employer that's a self-insured plan.
And presumably, as long as the Affordable Care Act is technically still the law of the land, the U.S. Congress is unlikely to pursue any kind of reform to ERISA that would change that.
Right. Right. I mean, that's what the Affordable Care Act did.
Yeah, good point. Another health policy issue on the radar of many people is the existence of something called CBD oil and the status of it as it exists in Wisconsin and this country. First of all, what's the significance of this stuff?
Well, CBD oil, I mean, I personally don't know. I just know that I see a lot of advertisements.
Right.
And as you know, I also have my own law firm, the Center for Health and Wellness Law. And I've been getting a lot of questions lately from people about CBD oil, in particular providers who want to give it to their patients, different types of providers. And the buzz seems to be around the farm bill that was passed in December of 2018, right around the same time that the judge ruled on the Affordable Care Act that we were just talking about. And the farm bill allows hemp products, which is where CBD oil comes from. It's a hemp-derived product. It removed hemp-derived products from Schedule I of the Controlled Substances Act, which makes CBD oil and other hemp-derived products no longer illegal as illegal drugs. But it has to meet certain conditions. It has to be produced, for example, by a licensed grower in order to be sold in the United States. So it opened up a big door to allow hemp-derived products to be sold and distributed in the United States. But what I keep telling my clients and others who are asking about CBD oil, you have to be careful because the Farm Bill did not affect the Food and Drug Administration. It left the Food and Drug Administration's enforcement authority and ability to declare what products are drugs versus food still intact.
So on one hand, we have the Farm Bill that removes it from the Controlled Substances Act.
Schedule 1. Mm-hmm.
So it's no longer illegal to sell. And at the same time, the Food and Drug Administration regulates it as a drug that presumably requires a prescription then?
Well, no, it doesn't. It requires, if you're going to claim CBD oil has a therapeutic benefit, like it's going to help you, it's going to help cure a disease or some condition that you have, and the FDA has declared CBD oil a drug. You can look it up online. The FDA says it's a drug. It's not a food source. It's a drug.
So it's not a supplement.
No. If you're going to claim it has therapeutic benefits, then you need to have it go through the FDA approval process like any other drug would need to do. And
so it's not even a question of a prescription here. It's a question of regulation at all.
Exactly. So you might see a lot of advertisements for CBD oil claiming it can, you know, help you with this condition or that disease. And unless it's gone through the FDA approval process, the FDA has said, it just came out with a letter right on the heels of the Farm Bill that it's online. You can look it up, Google it. And they say, you know, we understand there's a lot of claims out there and there's a lot of misrepresentation about what CBD oil really can do. And it hasn't gone through the approval process through our agency. And so if you're making those claims, whether you're a seller or a provider trying to prescribe it for your patients, you know, you could be in violation of the FDA Act, so the Food and Drug and Cosmetic Act. So
this is on the buyers, or this is on the sellers rather than the buyers.
Right. But the buyers need to, as consumers, need to be aware that the FDA likely hasn't approved the drug for what the person who's selling it is claiming it can do. So it's just an important message that I think is getting lost in all the hype with the farm bill, you know, allowing hemp-derived products to be sold and no longer illegal under the Controlled Substances Act.
So does that mean if you see a billboard for a product with CBD oil that makes a certain claim, it's possible that the company that's doing this is doing it illegally?
It's possible. It's possible. You know, I'd want to know more. But, I mean, there's only been one that I'm aware of, one product of CBD oil that's been approved by the FDA for hemp-derived product that's been approved by the FDA for a specific purpose, seizures, I believe. And it was approved in the last couple of years. And the FDA mentions that again in their letter that they released right after the Farm Bill was passed. So it's not an easy thing to go through. But, you know, that's for our protection. It's a public health statute. It's something that, you know, was enacted a long time ago in the early 20th century to help protect us from, you know.
Snake oil.
Exactly. Exactly. So it just, I just want to make sure that that message gets out that, you know, the FDA still has enforcement authority over the Food and Drug Cosmetic Act, and that they have declared CBD oil to be a drug under their enforcement authority.
One other issue we should mention, it's not really an issue as much as it is a development. You, in your role at UW-Milwaukee, have started a new program in health compliance?
Healthcare compliance, yes. So anyone who has a bachelor's degree is eligible to apply to the UWM Healthcare Compliance Certificate Program.
And what are we talking about when we say healthcare compliance?
Oh, we're talking about HIPAA and fraud and abuse laws and billing requirements. So if you work for a healthcare provider, a hospital, a clinic, a long-term care organization, a hospice, home health care, and you want to strengthen your compliance skills, your knowledge about what the federal government especially requires of you in all of these areas, billing, reimbursement, privacy, transactions with doctors and those kinds of things. This program, it's a 15-credit certificate program, can help you, you know, learn about those things and give you the credential of a certificate in healthcare compliance from UW-Milwaukee.
What's the course load like?
It's 15 credits, so that's 5 classes, and I think you can take them all online, which is great. So it's very flexible, and I think it covers a lot of very important areas, and if you're interested in even more, you can apply to the Master's in Health Administration program, too.
All right. Nice plug. Barbara Zabawa, thanks so much.
You know, thank you, Mitch.
Barbara Zabawa is a clinical assistant professor and co-director of the Master's in Health Administration program at UW-Milwaukee's College of Health Sciences. She's our regular health policy contributor, and you can read more about her work at wuwm.com.